This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The submersible that disappeared on its way to the Titanic wreckage on Sunday has been found. Paul Hankins with the U.S. Navy Salvage Operations.
Essentially, we found five different major pieces of debris that told us that it was the remains of the Titan.
They believe it imploded, killing five people on board. CBS's Roxana Saberi.
A Navy official told CBS News that the Navy detected what it called an acoustic anomaly consistent with an implosion after the Titan lost contact on Sunday. The official says the information was shared with the Coast Guard, which used it to narrow down the search area. The Coast Guard said in a press conference that throughout its search, it had listening devices in the water, but did not detect any catastrophic failures.
A popular toy is taking a serious bite out of bath time.
Safety regulators say parents may want to pull the plug on baby shark bath toys. More than 7.5 million of them are now being recalled because their plastic fins can seriously hurt or impale children. At least 12 kids have gotten hurt so far. Nine needed stitches or serious medical attention. The toys are sold at stores nationwide, including Walmart, Target, Amazon, and dollar stores. But if you've already got them, experts say toss them. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
Cleanup has been underway after last night's tornadoes, and the small Texas town of Matador leaves four people dead. This as extreme heat lingers in Texas. KTVT-TV's Jason Allen.
Texans are pretty used to the heat in the summertime, but not these humidity levels, which haven't been seen here in years. So paramedics have had to respond to homes, to businesses, where people have been overwhelmed by these temperatures. People are going outside still, usually in the mornings and the evenings, but when they go out, they're just not staying out there very long.
In Colorado, the National Weather Service confirms that a tornado touched down this afternoon in Highlands Ranch, south of Denver. The work to reopen a stretch of I-95 in Philadelphia that collapsed will get some help from a NASCAR piece of equipment. Pocono Raceway is lending a jet dryer to the reconstruction project. Pennsylvania Secretary of Transportation Michael Carroll.
With the Pocono Raceway equipment, we'll be able to stripe the road, paint the road, and then what happens after that, it's a very quick drying paint. The challenge for us is just to make sure it adheres to the surface of the road.
The Supreme Court has ruled against the Navajo Nation in a dispute involving water from the drought-stricken Colorado River. States that draw water from the river had urged the court to decide for them, and that's what the justices did. The Navajo Nation's president says the ruling is disappointing and lawyers are reviewing it. A Moscow court rules U.S. journalist Evan Gerskovich must stay in jail until late August. This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, Counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
But we also proved that I'm not always nice.
But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
If you're being really honest with yourself, do you value wealthy people's lives over poor people's lives? 844-967-2789. And I ask this because if you reflect on where your attention was this week, have you found yourself fascinated by this Titanic submersible story and not really thinking about the capsized migrant boats?
500 people.
500 people. And it's not an isolated incident, but it's very much a tale of two ships right now. And I'm just curious, if you're being honest with yourself, which story are you more fascinated by? 844-967-2789. Or why do you think the media is in such a frenzy over one versus the other? They're both tragedies.
Yes.
They both sound like absolutely maybe one of the worst ways to ever go out. But one feels like an expedition of wealthy people pushing the envelope of adrenaline rushes. And one was the plight of people running away from home because they no longer felt like they could stay there. But I would love to hear, because I think this is a fascinating topic that I feel like has been getting a lot of attention online, at least in the parts of the interwebs that I find myself on, of almost a criticism of how much attention we're giving this missing submersible, which I didn't even know was a word until this week.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm sure I did somewhere in the back of my mind, but as far as, I'm not sure submersible has been used this much in, if you Google search that, more than it has this week. But if you have no idea what I'm talking about, time and oxygen are running out as officials are still searching for the Open Gate vessel that basically it was on an expedition to see the Titanic wreckage. And so I think
time is up.
Time is up.
I think time.
Was it up this morning at 6 a.m.? I think. I maybe have heard.
As far as how the oxygen levels.
Yeah. So the missing vessel, and it included a British billionaire, two members of a wealthy Pakistani family. I think everyone on the boat was incredibly wealthy because it cost $250,000 even to go down into this thing.
Per person.
And, you know, this story, though, all week has taken over the airwaves. It's prompted an international response. And, you know, it's, and all of the details of this are wild to me as far as, you know, it's so much money to do it. It had not, this craft, this like, whatever, air, like submersible, had not been approved by any regulatory body whatsoever. And, you know, they were going to go see, and like, it's just the anyone who would actually go to do this is wild to me. But it's just, the media is in a frenzy over it, and they're calling for like any submarine expert they can get a hold of. They're looking to even trying to like find and like interview James Cameron for his wisdom on this. And it's just taken this stronghold over the narrative. And then meanwhile, you know, human rights advocates are pointing out to the fact that multiple, not just one, but multiple migrant shipwrecks in the past few weeks have failed to get much attention or resources.
I was going to say, so, the amount of money that is being spent on this submersible is going to be, I can't even wait until the final bill comes in on this.
And
who is that on the American taxpayer then?
Well, I don't know how much America is actually helping. This is like UK. Like I actually saw some video last night as far as like criticisms of the US for not doing more from a UK standpoint. Like I'm not sure that we're necessarily on the hook for a lot of this. But I could be wrong with that. But you know, in this is more of the international response of, and so just to get back to the story of the then last week, at least 82 migrants coming from Syria, Egypt, and Pakistan drowned off the coast of Greece after authorities failed to intervene or intervened fast enough. 500 others, so 10x of the five people who are in this submersible, have not been found, and at this point are believed to be dead. Yesterday, at least 35 migrants reportedly died after an inflatable boat sank before reaching the Canary Islands. And, you know, what's the difference between these two? Money. Like, gobs and gobs of wealth for some of these billionaires where, like, $250,000 is, like, not much to, you know.
It's lunch.
It's an afternoon. Compared to desperate people leaving, you know, places where they're starving, where they're persecuted, trying to get a better life. And it just feels like a very disproportionate response. And it feels like this happens a lot. Like, who do we care about? And is it because, like, I always wondered, is it because our brains, it's easier to wrap around five individual people? Or this kind of like unique, weird story of why people would do this versus a tragedy of 500 people, 500 like nameless, faceless people versus we know who these guys are and we can dig more into who each of them are and their backstories and stuff. Like, I don't understand why one gets so much more attention than the other. And so I'm looking to you. If you have any thoughts on this, at least, or just being honest, like, have you been like fascinated by this story this week? Is it something that you've been catching up with, or is it something that's just kind of been like spoon fed to you because the media seems to be fascinated with it?
Yeah.
844-967-2789.
There's certainly something about the exoticness of it, I think, that is part of what pulls people in. You know, they're thousands of feet underwater.
Yeah.
And there is just a movie element to it.
Well, especially it'd be a movie element to it if they were rescued.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Right.
But it's, you know, and it just reminds me of, in general, the decision of uber wealthy people to, like, push the limits. Like, I think there's like a record number of people who are like Mount Everest is what they're. Did you see that as well?
It's like 17 people, I think, died this year on Everest.
Oh, yeah. No, a record amount of people have died. But also the amount of people who are applying to be able to climb it and like reach the summit is up there. You know, the millions of like the certain billionaires who are like itching to go to space, which will cost millions of dollars. And so the uber 1% wealthy and their itch to defy odds and spend tons of money doing it despite the danger, and then our, you know, willingness to be fascinated by their recklessness. Because, like, as I said, this Ocean Gate was not approved by any regulatory body whatsoever. Like, I don't know how he convinced these guys to even do this, because as one submarine expert said, I actually think it's one of the guys who's on the boat or on the submarine was like, oh yeah, like when you're that far underwater, if anything goes wrong, you're dead before you even know it.
The pressure is unbelievable. And yeah, if there's any leak, anything, you're not going to, it's not going to last. The pressure is going to kill you. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Jim from Appleton is on the line. Hey, Jim, what do you think?
Hi, guys. I once heard from a not very nice person that 5 deaths is a tragedy. More than 20 is a statistic. And that's probably why we're getting more news on the billionaires than the 500 that disappeared in the half-sized boat.
So you think it's like the storytelling, like it's an easier story, like this, it's an easier story to grab onto when it's fewer people versus more, like more people?
I think you hit it on the head. You can get it when it's only a few people, you can get into each one of their life stories. When it's 98, well, you can't break into their, you could, but the news media is not going to bother to dig into their life story.
Yeah.
Jim, I don't mean to cut you off. We have a bad connection here. So if you want to try and call back, that would be great. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Jack from Merrimack. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. I'm going to say that, and you actually already said this, we get people that have got a lot of money, and they hire the best guides with that money, and then they go up and climb Mount Everest, which is a very dangerous proposition. Mm-hmm. I know, because I have been on mountains on 5 continents in this world.
Wow.
And have done a lot of climbing. And, you know, that can be very dangerous. This is even more so if you have any equipment failure, as they pointed out. If you have any equipment failure, there are really not a lot of backups. You're done. And I'm sure these people must have been told about this when they started this. Quite a few years ago now, there was a book written about it, Into Thin Air.
Yes, and, great book.
Never read the yeah, it is. That's essentially what happened was a whole bunch of people hired some guides to get them up to the top of this mountain, and the guides apparently decided that it was to their advantage to take a chance on going under up to the top, even though the timing wasn't exactly really good. They got caught.
Absolutely. Jack, we're coming up against a break, but I have to say, I feel like you have, from the little I know about you, from you calling into our shows and civic media shows, you seem like a fascinating person. I can't wait to someday meet you, but we have to take a break. But we'd love to hear from you about the submersible and why we're so fascinated by it. 844-967-2789. God's golden
show. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for organized crime, racketeer influenced and corrupt organizations act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Pry, 65 and mostly clear skies here in the overnight and light southeast winds. There will be a slim chance of a shower or thunderstorm Friday afternoon as high temperatures warm up to 91. Still slight chances of rain for Friday night. More rain chances over the weekend. Currently 71 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to give some more information on our discussion yesterday about Justice Samuel Alito and that fishing trip that he took in the private jet, $100,000 each way, $1,000 bottles of wine, the whole team of chefs, the king crab legs and Kobe beef. Let me give you this further information. I was surprised to see it. It doesn't, in retrospect, surprise me, but it shows the danger of what's been going on. The fellow who was behind this, Paul Singer, has had 10 cases before the Supreme Court. He's donated $80 million to the Republican Party in the last 10 years, $80 million. In Alaska, Alito stayed in a lodge of another wealthy billionaire as a friend of Paul Singer's. It's a $1,000 a night cabin. Now, I've been fishing in Alaska, fish off the Kenai Peninsula. We camped, but you know, there's not a lot of wealth in the motels up there. Grand a night is quite a bit. Alito published a response to the ProPublica article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday before the ProPublica article had even been published. He denied that he drank a $1,000 bottle of wine before anybody accused him of it. It turns out that the guy that entertained Alito up there, along with Paul Singer, had also done this with Antonin Scalia, another Supreme Court justice. Leonard Leo was the ringleader. Is that a familiar name? Head of the Federalist Society. He organized the fishing trip. He organized the fishing trip for these justices. He's now in charge of the Marble Freedom Trust, $1.6 billion that another billionaire gave to them to fund conservative causes. Leonard Leo put out a statement just now. He said, quote, "We should all wonder if ProPublica's attack on Justice Alito is, quote, bait for reeling in more dark money from woke billionaires," end quote. Speaking of dark money from billionaires, how about everybody who has their fingers in those right-wing Supreme Court justices? There are no woke billionaires who are giving dark money, as this guy charges. This Leonard Leo has coordinated an extensive network to set up relationships with judges and donors in a reinforcing ecosystem. This has been going on for 20 years, and we're just slowly tumbling to it. For 20 years, Clarence Thomas has been going on these trips. Antonin Scalia went on the trips. Alito went on the trips. You have Gorsuch. Suddenly a guy say, I really would love that crummy little cabin you have out there in the boonies in Colorado. And I want to pay you $500,000 more than you want, even though you haven't been able to sell it for 2 years. Large law firms pay John Roberts' wife $10 million for headhunting. $10 million. They're calling them up and say, hey, there's this law student that would like a job. He's at the top of his class. The Supreme Court is the only branch with really no checks and balances. The Supreme Court says it can, this isn't in the Constitution, by the way. It says it can tell the president, the executive, and the Congress that what they do is unconstitutional, but nobody can tell them that they're acting unconstitutionally. They're not elected. They're appointed by for life. And here what you have is you have an ecosystem of 20 years where they're all being wined and dined and given money. I mean, Clarence Thomas's $50,000 a year tuition for his relative he was raising as a son. They buy his mother's house and they refuse to report it. They say, Congress can't tell us to have an ethics code. I've had enough of this. There's nothing in the Constitution. They're acting unconstitutionally. I'm saying they're acting unconstitutionally. That means you're saying they're acting unconstitutionally. Jack of Merrimack, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Jack?
Well, pretty obviously, we've got to do something about the Supreme Court. I mean, that just, it's got to change. One of your more right-wing people pointed out that Sotomayor also was involved with, she got some money for a book deal and then voted in favor of a company that had business before the court, the same ones that gave her the money for the book deal. This has got to stop. And I'm not sure what we can do about it. Short of, and I think this might be one answer, have Congress enact a code of ethics that requires recusal in specific instances for these justices. And if they don't do it, have a serious, I mean, we're talking maybe millions of dollars in terms of fines if they don't recuse themselves, because this is, something has to be done. I think that there's zero chance that we would get a constitutional amendment that would cut down the length of the term of the justices. That would be a good idea, but I just don't think it can possibly happen. But maybe we can go through Congress and push again a law which says, okay, you're appointed for life, but after a certain point, you are a justice emeritus and you do not get a vote. You maybe get to advise other justices. But if you've been on the court for, say, 20 years, you don't get to vote anymore. You just get to advise the justices who are voting justices. To me, the obvious answer is to go up to a total of one Supreme Court justice for every federal court district in the country. And that would bring the number up to 13. And that would at least balance the court a little bit better.
That's it. These are some great, we have to go to a break. I'm going to respond to you after the break, Jack. Those are excellent comments. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News brief. The five people on board that missing submersible near the Titanic are dead. So says the Coast Guard, also revealing the Navy might have heard the fatal deepwater implosion when it happened days ago. James Cameron, the famed film director of the movie Titanic, has visited the site multiple times. He spoke with the BBC.
The first thing that popped to mind was an implosion. So I felt in my bones what had happened.
Several lanes of that collapsed stretch of Interstate 95 in Philadelphia now expected to reopen this Friday with help from NASCAR equipment. Pennsylvania Secretary of Transportation Michael Carroll.
We wanted to think outside the box to try and get 95 open in both directions.
In Texas, still hot and hotter, more than a week now, triple digits and then some.
When you have a temperature outside of, say, 100 degrees, it could be 30 or 40 degrees higher in your car.
Captain Crystal Holmes with Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, and there is a new tropical storm in the Atlantic. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Tom or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Tom or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenaire.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price, 65 and mostly clear skies here in the overnight and light southeast winds. There will be a slim chance of a shower or thunderstorm Friday afternoon as high temperatures warm up to 91. Still slight chances of rain for Friday night. More rain chances over the weekend. It's 69 at our studios.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, let me tell you something. You've heard of John Durham, guy with the mustache and the sneaky eyes, special prosecutor that Barr appointed on October 19, 2020. That was about 2 weeks before Trump lost the election. He knew he was going to lose the election. So crooked William Barr appointed sneaky John Durham to go after the Democrats and to, quote, investigate the federal investigation of the Trump-Russia connection, end quote. They try to get a desperate last-minute headline to show that there was, they thought something was wrong and that, in fact, Trump hadn't colluded with Russia. I'm so tired of people telling me on the right wing that Trump didn't collude with Russia. Let's go through some of the evidence right here, and you'll see what came out of it. In the House Judiciary Committee, John Durham testified for more than 6 hours recently. Remember, he'd issued a 306-page report, cost $6.5 million. And as a result of the whole thing, he brought two prosecutions and lost them both. And the conclusion of his 306-page report was that the FBI, quote, should have started a preliminary investigation instead of a full investigation. Not much difference. The Republican Senate, why do I say the Republican Senate? Because remember, they did have the Senate. Muscat Mitch was the majority leader up to the 2020 election. They found that there had been Russian interference. The Republican majority found that. And in 2019, the Department of Justice, that was Trump's Department of Justice before crooked William Barr came in, concluded that Durham, this idea that somehow the FBI should have started a preliminary investigation instead of a full investigation, was wrong. Now, Durham hadn't come to that conclusion in 2019, but that was what the Department of Justice of Trump said. The FBI was justified in starting a full investigation. And Durham, just out of thin air, said the other thing. And there's not much difference at all. What the difference would be how you phrase the subpoenas. At this hearing, there was a chance for the Democrats to ask questions. And Adam Schiff was the one that asked them. Adam Schiff is an excellent lawyer. And he really destroyed Durham. And that is a major reason why the Republican Party is censured Adam Schiff. Durham admitted in this testimony under oath that he called these Italian officials for evidence for Trump. What is that all about? Don't you remember? Trump's people. The conspiracy was that in Italy, there's some kind of a satellite, some kind of electronic communication that changed ballots in the United States. The Italians laughed at him. They said, that's bull. But they said, we can give you evidence of Trump's involvement in financial crimes here in Europe. Remember that? And Barr and the Department of Justice did not follow up on that. Under oath, questioned by Adam Schiff, John Durham says that he agreed to the following. A, he agreed that the facts of the Mueller report and the Senate Intelligence Committee report were true. The Senate Intelligence Committee was Republican majority at that time. He agreed that they were true. Both of them concluded that Russia had interfered in the 2016 election to help Donald Trump, both of them. And he agreed that that was true. Durham agreed that that was true. C, Durham agreed that Trump welcomed the help and shared information and secret meetings with the Russians. Durham agreed to that in this testimony, 6 hours long. And finally, Durham agreed that the FBI was justified in investigating that interference. And he started to argue about preliminary as opposed to full investigation. Nevertheless, there's a House Resolution 521 that just came out. One of the bases for the censure of Adam Schiff, quote, whereas the allegations that President Trump colluded with Russia to interfere in the 2016 election has been revealed as false by numerous investigations, including the recent report by Special Counsel John Durham. Hey, wait a minute. I'm calling this out. When you agree under oath, and this is in the report, the Mueller report, it's in the Republican Judiciary Committee report, that Trump welcomed the help of the Russians and shared information and secret meetings with them. You don't think that's collusion? You don't think that's collusion? Shared information and met with them? You know what would happen with drug dealers? If you had a drug dealer who provided assistance and information and met with somebody else who was selling the drugs, that's a conspiracy. That's collusion. That's a crime. Mueller, when he finally said at the end he couldn't find evidence of actual collusion, he found evidence that Trump welcomed the help, shared information with the Russians, and secretly met with them, his campaign. What Mueller did was dishonest, quite frankly. He had all of the evidence right there. He said that that's what happened. Adam Schiff went further and said there was collusion. I say there was collusion. When Trump welcomed the help of the Russians, shared information with the Russians, and secretly met with the Russians, Don Trump Jr. met with him in the Russian embassy. And a little known fact, a well-known fact, the CIA listens to everything that goes on in the Russian embassy, and they listen to everything that goes on in our embassy. And they were not in there to listen to Donald Trump Jr. They were there to listen to Ruskies. Suddenly they hear a guy, they go, oh, he speaks pretty good English. God, he speaks perfect English. Hey, it's Donald Trump Jr. That's how they found him, the skunk. That's how they found the skunk. Skunk then said, well, we were just talking about adoptions. Remember that? Baloney. They knew what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about adoptions. You think Putin and Don Trump Jr. give a rat's behind about adoptions? No, they don't. This is the result. There's a lot more to talk about this, and we have 40 seconds. It's Matt Flynn Direct. It's been a great show. Great callers, as always. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stand by for a great show. Devil's Advocate with Kroot and Dom, perhaps. And Matt Flynn Direct signing off for today.
Great show, Matt.
Good work, Calvin. Thank you. I will see you tomorrow.
Yep. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
What's the Evers say?
Calvin, you gotta make us sound good and then get out of here.
For sure. You guys always sound good, but I'll make sure you're going on the air correctly.
We don't always sound good on the air. Occasionally, I know there are some things that...
Hey, Crudy.
Why does the bottom rate doesn't get as big of a cut?
Hey, Crudy, you got me?
He doesn't have his headphones on. Hold on.
You talking to me?
Yeah.
You talking to me?
Hey, Crudy.
You must be talking to me. I do the...
check.
Driver.
Hey, Dom, how you doing?
Check.
Check.
You talking to me?
Check. 1, 2.
Hey, Dom, you got me?
Check 1, 2. Yes, I hear you, Evan. Let me...
What?
Excellent.
Check 1, 2. Check. Check 1, 2.
Check.
Are
you hearing me?
Check.
Yeah, I got you.
Check.
Why does this thing not point at me anymore?
Check. Can you just turn it? I don't know. There you go. Check 1, 2.
Oh, I'm wearing a t-shirt. I'm going to turn it back over here.
How you doing, Dom?
I'm good, Evan. How are you today?
Doing all right.
I'm not hearing Evan.
Why not?
I just have a really quiet headphone.
Oh, yeah. Turn it up. Hang on. He's got to turn his headphones up. Check. Turn up more.
I'm just making fun of him.
Check. Talk to me again, Evan, because I am hearing a little bit of an echo.
You are hearing an echo?
Just faint.
Check. 1, 2.
What about now?
Check. Well, now I have an echo. Check. Now it's gone. Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. Crudy?
Check. Yeah, there's somewhere it's popping.
I do
back.
Not hear one.
Check.
Yeah, it's like echo.
Is it like an echo, or a slapback, like really fast?
No, it's happening like a second and a half later. Almost.
Oof.
Like somebody.
You have some of the air. Feed?
Is there another? Is that no? That wouldn't be it. Check 1, 2.
Yeah, I hear. There's an echo.
Do you hear it?
No.
There's a real time echo.
Calvin, you with us?
Check.
Yes, I'm with you. I don't hear an echo.
There's a real-time echo coming through our headsets.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Dom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.